Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Any media queries will need to follow the regular channels. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 13th of July, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to dial in to our June quarter, our last quarter for 2017 financial year. I'll make a couple of opening remarks. Firstly, it's been a very good year for us again, growing as we have been doing over the previous years, perhaps at a slightly lower rate than what we've been doing in the past. But for what has been an interesting year, somewhat affected by weather early on in the year, as you know, and then a few operational wrinkles during the course of the year, we've actually turned out a pretty solid year overall, which has been very pleasing. And on to the highlights. So when we look at our safety performance, we've resumed the rate of improvement that we've been exhibiting in previous years, so that was very good to see, with our TRIFR rate now at 7.42. The June quarter, and having come home with a very wet sail in this year, you'll see with the numbers as we go through them, the June quarter was quite a big one from ROM production perspective, 6.6 million tonnes, and saleable coal production at 5.5 million tonnes, some 18 and 7% up respectively period on period. The ROM coal production for the year just got over the 23 million tonnes on a managed basis, which is 13% up on the previous corresponding period, which is a good result. Record saleable coal production at 20.8 million tonnes was 6% up period on period. Managed and equity sales at 20.7 million tonnes and 15.8 million tonnes, slightly up on both for the period in the previous year. Our Gunnedah operations has had a very good year, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but for the quarter at 2.1 million tonnes of ROM, that was certainly a very solid result. Our full-year ROM production at 9.7 at Maules was certainly a good result, and I'll talk about that a little bit further on. Tarawonga and Rocglen also set records for themselves at 2.7 and 1.6 million tonnes for the total for the year, respectively. As I said, the Gunnedah ops have done very, very well. And, of course, Narrabri, with its change-out from the 300 to 400, a wide panel has certainly gone as expected, and we'll talk about that also a little bit further. As we've done in the previous year, we've put our reiteration of our guidance down below, so you can see the guidance that we've given, the actual outcomes, covering our individual tonnes, and then of course our cost guidance, which we did say that we would be $2 up for the second half, and as we stand here, we look that looks to be consistent with actual performance. I'm over the page just now. Managed coal production for the quarter at 6.57 versus 5.57, 18% up period on period for ROM coal production was a solid outcome. And then the yearly totals, as you say, 23.1 versus 20.5 at ROM level, some 13% up. The saleable coal production at nearly 5.5 versus 5.13, 7% up. And then the yearly total at 20.78 versus 19.7, 6% up for the period. And rounding out the year, total sales at 20.67 versus 20.1, some 3% up period on period. Our equity totals there, if I just go down the totals there, 5.1 and 17.7 for total for the year is a very good ROM outcome, so pleased with that. Saleable coal production at the equity level at 15.7 versus 15, nearly 15.1 for the previous corresponding period, a handy increase of 5%. Sales have been flat period on period, but that really is a function of the fact that we've had a big ramp in the back end of the year, and this last quarter you can obviously see the impact of that, with some nearly 6.6 million tonnes of ROM hitting the stockpiles during the course of this last quarter. So it's been very positive. So overall sales at 15.8 versus 15.5, some marginally up at 2% up. As I say, stocks have certainly been added during the period as a result of that back-ended performance for the year in ROM production, and so you'll see that flow into this new financial year with what we expect to be a strong sales quarter in the first quarter of 18. As I said, safety has been a point of focus for us for for a while. We had sort of petered out and levelled out in the rate of improvement in previous years, but it's nice to see the operations resuming that pace of improvement, and at 7.42, that TRIFR rate is very, very pleasing. We still have a few too many of these small injuries, and we need to work more diligently on that, but it's nice to see the rate of improvement back to what we've previously been exhibiting. Coal sales, excluding our coal sales and purchased coal, about 5.4 million tonnes, 5% up on the previous corresponding period. Sales for the quarter about 25% for met coal, 75% for thermal, which is a good result. And our equity coal sales, excluding that purchased coal, at 4.1 million tonnes, 6% up on the previous corresponding period. We provided some data there for you just in terms of the split for the quarter, so high CV thermal at 64%. You've got the low CV at 11, and then met coal, as I said, at 25% overall. Sales generally have been affected in this last quarter. We've had a couple of annoying little incidents there. We had a grain train derail caused some disruption there for us for a while, and also some unfortunately planned maintenance which occurred on the line during the course of the quarter. Unfortunately compounded the desire of everybody to try and have a strong finish to the year. Everyone trying to push all their coal into the port at the back end of June caused a little bit of congestion and therefore some delays. So we have seen a little bit of slippage fall into July. Equity sales at 15.5, similar to the previous year as I mentioned before, and as I say, overall met coal proportion has been increasing. So for 22% for met coal for the year, that's up from 16% in the previous year is a good result, and obviously the balance is 78% for our thermal coal. Have seen some interesting dilemma or dynamics in the pricing between thermal and semi for the period. So that's we are seeing a compression of what's been the thermal price at the Newcastle level versus the semi soft realised price during the period. So that's been quite compressed. In fact, given the success that we've had in generating premiums on our thermal coal, we are able to, at this point in time, approximate roughly the semi-soft price that we're able to achieve with our premiums on our thermal. So there is an important decision that we have been making in terms of whether or not we sell semi in spot sales in particular versus thermal sales, because obviously if we can achieve the same price on a bypass basis with our thermal, that makes a lot more sense than producing the semi from a wash perspective, saving the washing cost and the yield. So yeah, we have backed off that a little bit just in more recent times. Obviously, we are trying to sign up more contracted tonnes, and so for those high-quality benchmark customers, we are continuing to produce a semi for them. But for the spot sales, we have wound that back a little bit on the semi-soft. Just over the page, we thought we'd give you just a bit of a steer in terms of how that contractual versus spot performance is going. And in this next quarter, we expect that to be about 40% contracted at the benchmark level for our semi-sales versus 60% on the index-based pricing. So I'm now to Maules. Maules has had a really good year, and at 9.7 million tonnes of ROM, done a really good year and done exactly what we've asked of it. We have been running at about the 10.5 million tonne rate for the most part in the second 6 months, and we'll carry that momentum into the new year. For that new year, we are expecting the 10.5 million tonne rate based on no new equipment turning up during the course of this next 12-month period, but the equipment for that next step up will arrive at the back end of this financial year, and the impact of which will be seen in the beginning of the 19 financial year. Narrabri, as you know, has moved from 300 to 400, as I mentioned, and that's gone very well. I mean, there have been the usual commissioning wrinkles that have gone with that, but we're already seeing weekly average production for the longwall exceeding our expectations and certainly exhibiting the type of step forward that we were projecting and our business case for the capital to improve or to expand the width of the panels is certainly reinforcing that decision that we will see significant volume come out of this expanded panel format. ROM coal production for the quarter of 1.675, 22% up on the previous corresponding period. In fact, both periods affected by longwall changeouts, as it turns out in this period of comparison. At 7.267, we're slightly low, obviously, from where we would have otherwise liked to have been for this year, although it was 6% up for the previous corresponding period. Our next change out, as we say there, is April of 2018. Saleable coal production at 1.57 for the period, and coal sales of 1.51, 12 and 3% respectively up on the same corresponding period. Saleable coal production and sales at 6.987 and 6.823, slightly lower than where they were in the previous period. Roadway development has been very good though, so that's been very positive at 4,247 metres during the quarter, and some 18.4 kilometres during the year, which is very positive. That certainly bodes well for float for longwall panel 8. Gundar Ops, as I said, have had a cracking year, and certainly the quarter at 2.1 million tonnes of ROM for the period has been very, very positive. We set records at Tarrawonga and Rockland during the course of this period, and Werris has done well as well. But those outstanding production results have seen us with a 6.1 million tonne production outcome for the year, which is 6% up on the previous corresponding period, which is a very, very strong result. Tarrawonga at nearly 900,000 tonnes for the quarter was certainly came home with a very wet sale. Our saleable coal production of 633,000 tonnes for the quarter was 18% up on the previous corresponding period. ROM coal production at nearly 2.7 for Tarrawonga is a record, and certainly that's given us plenty of coal to start off the new financial year for sales in the first quarter. Rockland again had an outstanding year, and as it's coming to the twilight of its time, certainly 500,000 tonnes for the quarter is certainly a very good result indeed. 1.64 for the year, certainly the best year it's achieved, and some 29% up on the previous corresponding period. Werris again, very good result for the quarter at 744,000 tonnes, and 1.8 for the year at ROM, at the managed ROM level, is a very solid result for us. The Vickery project has continued to progress and coming to the back end of the process for lodgement of our EIS. We had an internal deadline of lodging that by 30 June, but we have slowed that down because there are some opportunities for optimisation of the project, which we are taking at the moment. And so we've moved that to lodgement to the end of September, just to give ourselves a little bit more time to make sure we take advantage of these optimisation opportunities that are there, and before we lodge our EIS. You would have seen community consultation and so on has stepped up, so there's a lot more talk around the community around Vickery, which is very positive, and we look forward to that EIS being welcomed when it's lodged at the end of September. Pricing has been an interesting period for us, and I know when we reflect back on our previous quarterly discussions, a lot of focus had been on pricing, and I'm sure this one will be in a similar vein, given the gyrations in the pricing between spot prices versus benchmark pricing and the delays in settling various benchmark prices during the course of this period. For our semi-prices, we've achieved $106 per tonne in the June quarter for our metallurgical coals, which we think is a pretty good outcome, given that the range of which that has spanned during the period of $88 to $130 during the quarter has been quite a significant change. In fact, it spent two of the three months of the quarter below $100. So to do $106 was actually a pretty good outcome. And reminding everybody that we're obviously bringing incremental tonnes to the market, which don't have the benefit of a benchmark price, but for the 40% I mentioned earlier that do, so you are taking the spot price there, and based on that I think we've done pretty well. As far as the thermal coal price goes, an average for the period of just under $80, and we've achieved $83, which is a nice premium overall, given that is the outcome for all thermal sales inclusive of our low CV sales during the period. Maules Creek obviously is leading the way there again, at a 9% average premium on top of the benchmark Newt price, then you're doing pretty well, and that continues to be the case. Demand for that coal has been very, very good, and if I have to say so, I think there's probably a little bit of unmet demand, just as we're only aiming to produce about the 10.5 million tonnes in this new financial year. As far as the outlook goes, we think there's strong support for continued pricing at these levels, which is good. We would like to certainly see The spread between the thermal and the semi price recovered a little bit. As I mentioned before, given our premiums on malls in particular, we're able to approximate the current spot price for the semi. So we do expect that to normalise over time once we see a little bit less jumpiness, if you like, at the negotiation table between the buyers and sellers of the semi-soft and hard coke in particular. I do note that I did see some settlements of $107 going at semi just recently, so that bodes well to a more orderly resumption of discounts you'd otherwise see from the hard coking price. So we'll look to see that improve over the next few weeks as those settlement discussions hopefully come to a pointed end. But overall, as I say, a good quarter. The table's on the back, obviously, there for our individual mine breakout. A good quarter. And a solid year for us. I mean, we've got a month now until we release our financial results, which will be a reflection of that solid year. So I'll open the hand back to you, Charlie, and open the line for questions.
Thank you. For audio participants, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And our first question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor, Shore and Partners. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul. Congratulations on a record year. 3 questions. Firstly, can you confirm the month the longwall changeover that's next for Narrabri? Secondly, just with regards to the production over the last and sales over the last 3 or 4 quarters, other than the quarter you've just had, which you really did ramp up, it's been quite flat. Is that just like a basing or a plateauing ahead of the next step up with Narrabri and Vickery? That's how I should think about it. And thirdly, on semi-soft, you talked about $106 per tonne being a good price. I actually wonder if it's not a good price, because I've tried to triangulate and work out how you come to that, and with carryover tons at 170 and a contract price of 126, and even laying for the fact the spot price is below 100, as you mentioned, it seems like you must have sold a lot very, very low and not a lot of carryover or contracts. So I'm kind of perplexed to how to get that number, if you could help me out.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. Now, Peter, the second question I didn't quite understand, so if you could help me out with that one again.
Yep. Look, I was just looking at your production and sales on a quarterly basis over the last, say, 4 or 5 quarters. And I annualise the data to make it more sensible. It's like you hit a bit of a flat spot through the last 4 quarters. And the last quarter, you've just had June being very strong, but the 3 prior to that quite flat, with a really strong September quarter last year as well. So is that just more plateauing ahead of the next step up with Maules Creek and Narrabri?
Yep, okay. Thank you. All right, let me try and do that. Sorry, the longwall change out in March of April, sort of towards the end of March, early April, depending on how quickly we chew through the panel, to answer your question on that one. The sales quarter on quarter, look, I think, is there a flat spot during the course of the period? I mean, there certainly was a flat spot as far as production goes for us. You'll recall that in the first quarter of the year we were weather affected, and so we had less tonnes. In the second quarter, we had a few wrinkles with Narrabri, and so we had less tonnes there. And then the second half, you'll see volumetrically has certainly picked up. I don't think all this discussion around pricing has been helpful, I have to say. So you had a lot of people holding off in the early part of this second half of the year, particularly around Chinese New Year. You had a lot of people holding off actually committing to tonnes, while there was such a big differential, as we talked about after the March quarter, between benchmark pricing and what the spot pricing was. So I do think that sort of led to people drawing down their stocks a little bit more and fewer commitments, I would say, being made to tonnages. Now, as that trickles into your next question about semi-soft pricing, why do I say 107 is actually okay? Well, relative to $92, if you're looking at the spot price, that's actually a handy step up, which I think is good. Should it be higher? Yes, I think it should. If you're looking at, say, for instance, the historical proportion of the hard coking price from where we are today. As I say, I come back to the key point, which I think some commentators have missed, And that is that as far as incremental semi-soft tonnes are concerned, we are not heavily contracted, and that's why we put the 40% in there so that people can understand that. So you are, if you want to move the coal, you are selling it at the spot price. And until those contracts roll over, or until those supply agreements roll over into term business. And for a brand new mine coming to the market, I think we've done very well in being able to ramp up that contractual position. But as I say, if you accept the notion that you're selling into the spot market, for the last quarter, you've had two of those 3 months where the semi-soft spot price has been below $100. And so if you're just using your weighted average calculation there, and I'm sure you guys can do that as well as we can, you're not going to approximate 130s and 125 numbers that people have been saying you might be able to achieve. And it's just a new, more nuanced situation than that. So, of course, we'd like to see, a 25% discount off the hard coking price being your base for semi, of course. But yeah, it's a little bit below that at the 107, that's for sure.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Thanks for that. So two questions from me. The first one is, can you maybe shed some light on the economics around deciding not to wash and sell coal as semi-soft? What is the sort of premium, if you like, that is not good enough, or what does it have to get through for you to decide to sort of do that washing exercise? It'd just be good to know that number if possible. And then the next question is just on the Chinese import restrictions. Do you see any impact on you guys from that? And any thoughts around what that means for the thermal market? Thanks.
Yep, thanks, Lydon. we are a victim of our own success here in some ways, just in this window that we see ourselves with the compression of thermal to the semi-pricing. If you take today's price at $83 and you just assume we're getting a 9% on that, you're in early 90s there for your total thermal price for your Maltz Creek thermal. And if you look at the spot, let's assume you don't have a contract, for a benchmark contract that is, for your semi-sales, then you're going to put it into the spot market. And at $92, $93, that's not really viable for us, unless, of course, it's a contract that's going to roll into a benchmark arrangement, and in which case we will, because there's, as we've said before, you've got to call it, say, $4 to $5 in differential between the cost of the semi versus the thermal. So the washing cost itself, which is pretty mild, and then the yield loss, as you know, is very low compared to our competitors, but it's still that order of magnitude. So we prefer not to actually expend that extra money, suffer that yield loss, and incur the cost of washing if there's no longer-term benefit in it, and that longer-term benefit being described by, well, a cheaper sale leading to a benchmark contract then after. So that's the difference that we see there. So that's just the dynamics. We continue to push into that contracted market, as you know, and we think this will normalise. So as I say, for the customers who are historically benchmark customers, we will continue to supply them as long as the prospect of that benchmark term contract is real. Otherwise, we'll wind that back a little bit and put the coal from a bypass basis straight into the thermal market and make more money.
Great. And any thoughts on the Chinese restrictions?
Yeah, look, I don't think the Chinese restrictions will have much of an impact on us. We haven't really seen a great effect yet from the discussions around these types of restrictions, and I note that they are different in different ports, which is interesting in itself. Look, I think it's really just a matter of what it overall tightens up the balance of trade, in the seaboard market, and to the extent that there are some coal that is displaced by these things, then they don't easily find themselves into other markets that we service anyway, just because the quality of the differential is too great. So generally we would say this thing is not going to affect us.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Duncan Simons, Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Oh, thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. So just a couple of questions from me. The first is just thinking about the cadence of Narrabri into 18 on a ROM basis. So I guess how would you describe the performance of the extended phase so far, and is there any kind of thing to think about as we get into 2018? That's the first one. And then secondly, just on costs, would it be too cheeky to get some guidance from costs into 18 at this period? Thanks.
Right. Okay. I'll try and deal with the cost one. Look, cost, we will give guidance with the full year results, so you'll need to wait a month for that. Obviously, the cost performance that we give guide people based on the recovery plans that we put in place after that wet first start to the year, and then wanting to pull out some extra tonnes whilst Narrabri had its wrinkles in that second quarter, we guide that there'd be an extra $2 in there over and above the first half, and as I say, we feel confident that we'll deliver on that. So, but for full year 18 guidance on costs, we'll wait until the annual results before we do that. On Narrabri's performance, I'll get Jamie to make some comments, but look, basically we're quite pleased at what we're seeing already. I mean, we are in this early phase of ramp up of some new gear. There have been a few little glitches that we wanted to sort of just iron out. I don't want to push the gear too much, but already we're seeing the basis of step up. You know, as we guided before, we thought there might be about 10%, if you like, in total volume step up with the expansion of the face. And we're certainly, everything we've seen to date would indicate that that's certainly achievable.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. I mean, in terms of the aspect that you were talking about, the cadence, I mean, if you look at what has caused us issues in Longwall 7 to date, I guess it isn't all associated with the new equipment, the 400 metre wide ASC. The supports are working as good as the previous supports were on the 300 metre wide face. We've had some commissioning issues that we referred to, I guess, with the ASC, and primarily they're things that to do with chain tensioning and performance of the chain. But external to that, we've had issues such as some heavy roof in the tail gate. Not long after we started, we're only about 30 to 40 metres into this block, and we had some issues in the tail gate roadway, which required some additional secondary support to control that. And surprisingly to us, we've had some higher levels of CO2 gas, both across the face and in the tailgate, that we've been working on in terms of just some changes structurally to our ventilation system there. But you know, we're very pleased to date with the performance of the new equipment, and once again with cadence, the last few weeks we're now into a bit of a rhythm there, and we're seeing consecutive weeks in excess of the 200,000 tonnes per week. So we see, barring all those other external issues, we'll see that sort of performance through to the end of this block and beyond.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Eric Thorpe, IHS Market. Please ask your question.
Hi, Paul. Congratulations on another good quarter. I just want to ask about the semi-soft coming out of Maules Creek, and in your report you've said that mining below the Braymont seam commenced during the quarter, and this will enable access to lower seams, and these seams are expected to be better in the upper seams and improve the overall quality of the met coal coming out. Could you just provide some detail on that improvement and how you expect it to be priced in comparison to your current semi-soft product, not as a, you know, an overall price, but maybe just as a percentage if you're expecting it to attract a premium or some sort. Thank you.
Yeah, look, I suppose what we've experienced to date, I'll step back to what we originally thought about what each of the seams would represent before we commenced mining. We certainly thought that once we got to the Braymont, that would really signify the transition into those seams which carried the better coking properties. What we found, I suppose, very pleasingly, is that a lot of the earlier seams above the Braymont that we'd previously discounted from having meaningful coking properties have actually turned out to be very good. And our original thoughts around this was that semi-soft pricing, even though we carried a very low ash profile, the coking properties themselves would lend themselves to a discount from semi-soft pricing, and we'd estimated that between, you know, say 5% and 10%, depending on which seam you're looking at. But now, as we've experienced the semi-soft sales now, and Maule's done something like in this quarter just over 30% sales semi-soft for this quarter, which is very good. The coking properties are much stronger than we expected, so that need for the assumption of the discount is certainly falling away. We have given some discounts, obviously, to induce people to trial the coal where they've not had the opportunity, been doing business with us previously, be that through, say, Tarawonga's semi-soft. But I think longer term what that means is that those discounts will go away, and that this product, because of its low ash profile and better coking properties, it will stand on its own as being able to achieve benchmark pricing without any problems at all. So I think that's certainly where we feel it'll go, and that's what the early results are showing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Paul Young, Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions on one being, first of all, just semi-soft pricing, exploring that a little bit more, and then also just on Narrabri. Just on the semi-soft pricing, I know that we can calculate what was benchmark ourselves or have a stab at it, but if you've got those numbers handy, that'd be helpful, what it was for the June quarter. And then also just on the guidance here saying of sales 60% spot in the September quarter, 40% benchmark, where do you think, based on looking at the custom book, the demand for semi-soft from JKT and maybe China, where do you think you can actually get that split to over time? Can you get almost to 80-90% region for benchmark on semi-soft over time? So that's the first question. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Look, semi-soft pricing, I think, is just interesting, isn't it? Over time, benchmark pricing and the spot pricing should approximate each other. And yet we've obviously had a period now which has gone on for a little while where those historical relationships have been distorted. 60-40 is a good outcome in terms of benchmark pricing for this next quarter ahead of us. There should be no reason why we couldn't increase that substantially further. And in fact, our objective would be once we actually start to essentially get closer to the full run rate of the mine, we would expect to be more like 70 or 80% contracted on that semi production. There'll be very little of it, but other than incremental customers in new markets, say for instance, that we would say would start out as being spot based. And that's what we've seen. We've seen new customers come to us saying we'd like to try it. Customers we hadn't contemplated, and I mentioned the Chinese in previous quarters, they've come and they've bought on a spot basis, and we've said that's fine, as you can take it, but over time we want to see benchmark pricing prevail. So I think over time that continues to move that way. It's been a good result to get us where we are. I don't see any limitations to us being able to achieve that over time, unless of course buyers decide that the quarterly benchmark pricing regime is no longer meeting their needs, and there was a change in that regard. But as it stands today, I don't think they're at that point.
Okay. I mean, the JKT always seem to want to pay a bit of a premium, right? So that's that link to a discount to met coal as opposed to what's going in and setting the spot price.
Yeah, all those big customers as you mentioned in that aggregation, they want to contract with us on the benchmark pricing. So, the Nippon Steels of this world, the POSCOs of this world, that's the way we negotiate with them, and we're pleased to see that we've locked in those prices with them.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And then on just on Narrabri, as far as FY18 is concerned, now just curious about how many tonnes are sitting in LW107. So to give an indication of, you know, because that's obviously going to get mined completely in FY18. You'll mine a little bit of, I presume, of LW108 during the fiscal year. So can you just maybe run us through the size of that panel in tonnage?
Jamie?
Well, it is, as you say, it almost approximates the annual tonnes. So I guess if you remember, we moved into that block back end of April, early May, and, you know, so March, April next year is when we're looking to move into 108. So it's just shy, I guess, of that annual tonnage that we're forecasting from Narrabri. So yes, we will just start off 108 in the back end of this financial year.
Right. So it's Jamie, it's the 10% uplift. So we're basically saying it's around 8.
In that order, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we would.
You've got development tons on top of that, of course, but it's probably a bit less than that. But
Yeah, that's what I said. Paul, we'll do the guidance, the full update on guidance for the new year when the results come out. But, of course, you know, we're always looking to try and accelerate, you know, the rate of production, and that might drag that forward a little bit. The key thing there is really to see what the new gear can do. As Jamie was saying earlier, and we've made the comment in the quarterly, that there's been a significant step up in you know, already in the average weekly output that we've seen, and that's been very encouraging. So you know, the team becomes more familiar with how you know, this new gear operates, then you know, let's test the boundaries of this and see what it's capable of doing as we get into some of the areas in particular in the panel that we know, you know, are quite free-flowing production periods within the panel.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, and then last question, just on the small open cuts. Just curious about why you pedalled so hard in the last couple of months. You know, just from a working capital perspective, you know, I would have thought you probably want to smooth that in the September quarter. Clearly, you know, obviously those operations get impacted by wet weather. So when it's dry, you want to run hard. But it was probably the biggest build up in inventory I've seen across those operations.
Yep.
So just curious about why you ran so hard into the back end of the fiscal year.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's there are a number of different factors that came to play in that. You know, the first one is they were obviously behind the eight ball. You know, once we got to the end of the first quarter, and with the weather impacted first quarter as we started the year, so we certainly wanted to pull some more tons out to try and get back to where we were. So that required the implementation of a series of plans across those three sites to be able to claw those tons back. And then you had Narrabri, which, as we know, caused us to revise our guidance down a bit for Narrabri. And so we said to the guys, okay, well, now that those plans are in place, let's test it and see how you can perform and fill the void for some of those tonnes of Narrabri that we'd guided down on. And so they've had a really good year. So we've basically seen fit to let them go and continue to produce at the rates they were. Given that, and their cost performance, as you'll see when we come out with our full year results, has been very good. So we feel, as I say, we feel confident despite that change in product mix, which obviously implies different cost bases, that we've been able to hold to that guidance as we said on cost. So that's been very positive. Yes, of course, we finished the year with some big stockpiles, but again, as we know, this first quarter can give us a touch up in weather. So we've got the stock on the ground to be able to sell it, and the sales outlook for the next quarter is quite substantial. So there's no issues about moving at all.
I guess there's an additional point too, Paul. There's a misalignment between the, you know, what we look at in terms of our financial year production and the calendar year transportation limitations, I guess, from Tarrawonga and Rocklin. So we were able to get an approval to increase the calendar year transportation of coal to 4 million tonnes. So I guess we've been producing and running at a much higher rate for this first 6 months, and that'll now taper off to allow us to achieve that full year calendar transportation of 4 million tonnes from both of those mines.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Glenn Locock, UBS. Please ask your question.
Oh, Paul, hi. Just a quick follow-up on that one. The 4 million tonne you got for the trucking, is that just a one-off or is that something you think you can get each year? And then secondly, you made some comments about optimisation of Vickery and delaying the submission by a quarter. Just wondering if you could maybe quantify what the optimisation means. Are we talking on the CapEx side, the OpEx side, volume? Just if you could maybe just give us a little bit more colour around what a quantification, quantity and quality about what you're trying to achieve there. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Glenn. The 4 million tonne is a one-off.
You should see that as a one-off.
Yeah, that's a one-off. I think with Vickery coming, I don't think there'd be any real appetite for the government to give us the opportunity to produce at that level for any great period of time. So I think you should consider that just being a one-off opportunity that we've taken advantage of, and then you'll revert back to our normal run rate. On Vickery, basically all our work's done on Vickery, so I'm very pleased as to where we got. In fact, we could have lodged it by 30 June if we chose to do that. Having said that, the infrastructure area in particular, and I won't go into dollars and cents, but the infrastructure opportunities with the rail certainly have allowed us to investigate better options than what we'd otherwise contemplated for the Vickery Rail connection. Now, as everyone knows, we've been looking at various scenarios there, three corridors, and so we've been able to obviously explore that more deeply, and we're certainly focused on making sure we spend the minimum possible capital, and obviously make sure that whilst in doing that, we also embed the best possible OPEX profile for every tonne that emerges out of the operation. So the 30 June deadline obviously was, for lodgement, was our internal deadline, and we don't feel overly sensitive about just delaying it a few more months just to bed down these opportunities. The tonnes won't change, so the volume's still the same, all those other things. It's really just optimisation, as I say, rather than extra volume. But as we get to, there's about a 3-month wait before the EIS will become public and people can see what we're contemplating there.
Okay, so you won't quantify the potential saving, percentage wise or something?
No, not. I think it's a little early to do that. I mean, I don't think too many people have got too much value on it in their books anyway, in terms of there's some of the parts for us. But when the EIS comes out, there'll obviously be that's obviously a voluminous document that people will be able to see the detail of the project, and be able to conclude what they want in terms of the prospectivity of it.
Okay, that's a fair point. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Again, that's 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And our next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor, Shore Partners. Please ask your question.
Paul, just following up on Vickery and thinking about when and if that does come on and the proportion, the quality of the semi-soft coking coal that it will deliver, just thoughts on how you will shoehorn that into the market? Is it something that will take an extended period? Does it do anything with Maules Creek and affect that sales there, or do you think you can squeeze both into the market?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Look, it's an interesting question, this one, and obviously we contemplated this with Maules. Obviously we knew that we would bring a reasonable portion of semi-soft to the market, and I think we've been able to do that. We were very conscious of not cannibalising sales from Tarawonga, say, for instance, as a poor example, but happy to take sales from other people, but we obviously don't want to take sales from ourselves. And Tarawonga's been able to maintain its sales profile. In fact, it's increased over the period of Maules' ramp-up. Vickery, Vickery, if you look at the timeline for it, I mean, we're still several years away from seeing first semi-soft sales out of Vickery. So, you know, you would want to continue to see the growth in the market, which we are seeing over time, so that's been very positive. And then there's a period of ramp-up for Vickery as it starts and then obviously goes to its full potential. So that would take several years on top of that to achieve also. But I think what we know about the coal quality there is that the coking coal properties are as good, if not better, than Maules, and we think there'll be strong interest for it. Certainly the interest from parties wanting to talk to us about the prospects of joint venture interest would indicate that that the interest is there for it.
Hey Paul, the CV of the thermal coal component of that, better or worse than Maules? And is there some sort of trade-off with trying to juggle both of those into the market?
No, it's the same. It's the same, Peter. So you'll get the same good outcome from the thermal that you get from Maules, but we do know the coking properties in particular are better.
Okay. And just lastly, you mentioned the JV interest from potential parties. Consumers only?
Consumers. Yep, that's generally been our focus. I mean, we've had interest from a lot more than just end users. But as you've seen us do in the past, you know, predominantly our preference is for end users. But we've had interest from traders as well.
And has the level of interest increased of late given the amount of M&A activity in the sector in recent months?
Yeah, it has been positive. It has been positive. I think there's an undercurrent there, I think, of concern about scarcity, and you know, that's obviously something that we would like to take advantage of.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Let's just wait for a few seconds, allow people to queue.
We might wrap it up there, I think, operator.
All right, sir. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to dial in. If there's any further questions, you know where to find us. But we look forward to seeing you all in the near future. And obviously, we've got about 4 weeks' time to release our full financial results as well. So thanks for your time. We'll see you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.